these dark powers that manipulate history. Let's use the I word, the Illuminati, although I don't think that's what they call themselves. But whoever's at the top of this pyramid, they manipulate China just as they've manipulated Britain, America, Germany, Russia, whoever.
Welcome back to Grand America Outlawed. We are going to be chatting with Matt DeMille a little bit later, ex-Hollywood guy. Fun chat, the ex-Hollywood Indiana Jones Freemason man talk boy. It's a great chat. We get into sort of the some of the weird stuff in Hollywood and some QAnon stuff and the four controlling factions of Hollywood, which is fun. It's a great chat, an interesting one. Of course, I'm doing the intro myself because Graham is off to BC this weekend. So we can go be with his mom for her surgery with the cancer, as we addressed in the other show, the Grand America show, the regular podcast. We addressed that in the intro of last week's show, but he's away doing that this week. Of course, we wish Mary nothing but good vibes, and we hope that she makes a speedy recovery, and Graham will be back in town next week and won't skip a beat. From your guys' perspective, the show will keep on rolling. Of course, the other exciting thing is that today, Friday, this show is coming out on Friday the 14th, which was Graham's last regular work day. He has left the workforce to concentrate on these things full time. Actually, he's doing 2 days a week for a couple more, for another month or two, to sort of help the transition out. Into doing this kind of stuff full time, whether it's the audiobooks over at adultbrain.ca or the other podcast, the Grimerica Show, or this podcast, Grimerica Outlawed, or our Rockfin stuff, or our Contact at the Cabin event stuff, all that fun stuff. Where he's kind of there where he's going to focus on this stuff full time. I've got a few more years of work, another year and a half or so before I'm going to pull that trigger. But it's exciting, and we hope you guys can sign up for Plus. Or whatever you can do to sort of help us on this next chapter of the journey, which should be more content, more books, more podcasts, more events, all that stuff. I'm about 500 days away from being there myself, 500 or 600 days, and I'll be right there with them. If you guys want to head over to grandamerica.ca/support today, you can send them a little welcome wish into his new freedom, or you can sign up for Plus. I mean, that's a great way to help us keep going. Sign up for the Plus extension. Why not start today? Anyway, it's a fantastic chat with Matt DeMille. We hope you enjoy it. We wish Graham the best of luck. We wish his mom the best of luck. We'll ask him how it went next week. Enjoy this chat. Matt DeMille.
All right, Matt DeMille, welcome to Grimerica Outlawed. Thanks for coming on.
Greetings.
I wish I could see your Indiana Jones hat right now.
It looks like an Indiana Jones hat.
So I don't know where to start with you, because I've got some really interesting similarities between you and a few other people I've met in the last few years, which is kind of mind blowing to me, really. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to, if you want me to kick it off by talking about that a little bit and we can go from there, or...
Indiana Jones is ready for anything. Throw it at me.
Well,
let's open up a can and just do it.
So over the last 3 or 4 years, I've met some very interesting people through the podcast, and I could categorize a few of you as, like you say, a Montauk boy or somebody that's been through childhood experiments or abuse. And there's crazy similarities between the three of you for now. I'm not going to name anybody in this, but your cadence is very similar. The way you guys talk, your creativity, you talk about this precognition type stuff through artistry. You've all been into Dungeons and Dragons and role playing. I mean, I've lost my notes here. So I had a few other points to make, but to me, I've recognized listening to you, there's something similar about all of you. And it goes beyond, like, you know, your voice and your cadence. And that, so I don't know if you have anything to say about that. Is that weird or?
My whole life is weird. So weird is the norm, but I would say I'm curious of these other two people after we're, at some point, I'd like to learn the names myself, but as I don't know, But I think that you're finding or hearing commonalities in our stories because they're true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they're coming from a reliable, i.e. a real source.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, like the precog through artistry kind of thing is crazy. Being a creator, like writing, you're all into either writing or dungeon mastering at one point, or these, it's just making games. I mean, how crazy is that?
It's, you would think that, well, artistic expression would be a commonality amongst experiencers or people that have experienced strange things. They would have to express themselves in unconventional ways, but it is very particular, the things we're into, gaming, certain genres. There's a lot of, even for me, strange commonalities. When I was watching your show and you were referencing role-playing games, I was like, wow. I used to think I was the only one, you know?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's being interesting getting into Dungeons and Dragons and DMing myself a little bit and creating sort of a world and these encounters. And when I grew up as a teenager, of course I was interested in fantasy and sci-fi and this and that, but of course I was pretty naive and I thought, oh, this is all fantasy and it's not real. And then starting the podcast about 8 years ago and getting into a lot of the stuff, like, cause after, you know, I've had experiences myself with things and then talking about all this stuff. I mean, there's so many commonalities now between reality and let's say like a fantasy type D&D, whether it's like just magic or different, humanoids like dwarves and giants. And I mean, it goes on and on where there's a whole bunch of, I mean, even just the schools of magic. I mean, a lot of that stuff is based on, you know, some actual phenomena and history.
Once upon a time, say about 20 years ago, I was starting to get a little depressed because I was fearing technology. And I thought my beloved fantasy genre is going to be obsolete. By the time I've done my great works, no one will be interested because we'll have space stations and it'll be more Star Trek than Lord of the Rings. But that's not been the way it's worked out, has it? The world, the Matrix, is far more mystical than we ever imagined. And the more we find that these things are real and not just in a Lord of the Rings, oh, you know, Tolkien made languages. I love that. I've read that. But we're finding real hobbits in the fossil record. We're finding that magic does work. And just to throw even a little bit of a teaser in there, J.R.R. Tolkien knew the mystery schools. He was sort of like Stanley Kubrick in coding things. I mean, the Tolkien's whole family were Masons, for example. You know, so there's all this esoterica that has chronicled the ancient story. I think when Tolkien was writing about hobbits, he knew exactly about the histories that we're only starting to recover. And Numenor is Atlantis and things like that. Ghosts are showing up more and more. The barrier between the fairy world and ours is thinning all the more. People are more accepted. We're like living in I call it the new Middle Ages, where we're starting to accept the fantastic as just part of everyday reality.
Or the new Middle Earth, maybe?
The new Middle Earth, something like that. And I think that's wonderful.
Or the new Midgard, even.
I call myself, I'm from Asgard. So Midgard works fine for me. Yeah, and we're having so many paranormal experiences. It's interesting just in one generation that we've gone from, if you believe in UFOs, you're a quack,
yeah,
to if you don't believe in UFOs, what's wrong with you? That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and Hollywood's played a big part of that. I mean, Hollywood has, to me, I feel like it's there's a big shift coming up right now where Hollywood used to me, I used to think that they were coming out with these fictional stories and some of them based on facts. But in order to create a disinformation, to create a cognitive dissonance that if you see it in Hollywood, you think it's fiction. So it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
So now learning more about Hollywood and the symbolism, I feel like it's almost the opposite. They're throwing this stuff in there as a nod to reality, but I can't tease apart myself what the agenda is. Is it because they're what do they call that when they show something ahead of time? Like, is it more about that, or is it more about creating
programming?
Is it predictive programming, or is it about making people believe stuff that's not true?
All of the above and more. There is great power in, well, for lack of a better word, magic. Hollywood is a modern form of magic. It's mind control and manipulation of energies. Los Angeles, having been built where a lot of earth energies are very powerful, and they harness that in many ways. Disneyland was built, you know, on the 33rd parallel for a reason. There's all kinds of energy and ley lines that come off the Griffith Hills. You've got UFO reports off Catalina Island, and it's an energy-rich area. But the whole industry is, it's like technology. It can be used for good or bad, positive or negative. And whoever's the custodians of that power in the old days, I wager they were more better people, in our opinion, good people, and had good ideas. Nowadays, it's been corrupted and communistic, and it's being used for the wrong reasons. And it's about manifesting reality overall. They use the movies to predictive programming, throwing symbols into the visuals is one of many things that go into the witch's cauldron, if you will. So a lot of things go into this overall spell. They have many ways to take your money. They have many ways to get into your head and into your heart. And what we do for them manifests the reality they want. They use us as their unwitting slaves. They're getting the Pharaoh's slaves to build him a tomb. Not that the pyramids were a tomb. I was going a little DeMille here. This labor of love to build the empire for the elites, and to hell with all the slaves. But the slaves are happy to suffer for that. Hollywood is so powerful, or the technology, and I don't mean just in terms of the camera, I mean in terms of the metaphysics, what they can get people to believe.
Right. And that's
very powerful.
So you talked about the beginnings, and there was more of a positive intention, or more a genuine sort of thing in the beginning. Now you've traced yourself back to Cecil DeMille, right? And would you say that was good back then? And then when did it start changing then?
Good or evil, or a point of view, Skywalker. We all know the industrial barons of the turn of the 19th, 20th century weren't exactly the best of people, but let's go with the presumption that it was good old Americana. What I know about Los Angeles is that it was set up to be an art colony, sort of a modern Athens. Largely the Masons built it. All the great Hollywood landmarks are Masonic architects. And Masonry back in the day was very different than it is now, not just everyone thinking they were evil. Actually, in the 19th century, there was an anti-Masonic party. There was a thing called the Taxil hoax. And even the Earp brothers did not admit to being Masons at the time because the heat was on so bad. So that comes and goes. But in the heyday of Hollywood, in the golden age, they were the movers and shakers. And I think they had the best of intentions, United States, America. And they wanted an art colony that was a place to have freedom of consciousness. They saw the cinemas, this modern day art form. Cecil B. DeMille, I do have a legitimate bloodline to Cecil B. And like Cecil B., I'm a Mason as well. So is Cecil B. They made a big deal about the bloodline when I'm fast forwarding a bit. Excuse me, there's a lot to say. I trip over my tongue sometimes. Hollywood began good, but it became slowly corrupted. When the 60s and the socialism came in, that's when it started to slip downhill. There was a renaissance of sorts with the second golden age, if you will. I'll call it the 1980s, when you had Star Wars and all the rest coming out, and movies really, you know, reach new heights in terms of profitability and worldwide appeal and so on. But then after 9/11, it really went downhill and hasn't recovered. And the power structure has changed. It went from Masons in America and capitalism to socialism, and you see it all over the place now. And the new factions that are in power are the Satanists and the communists and the various people that are all over TV virtue signaling. The school that I went to, I'm like to think I'm pretty qualified to talk about these things, that I mentioned, the American Film Institute, the AFI, is the top school in Hollywood, and you meet all the big people. I got to have class with Sean Connery. That was pretty cool. So that's the level I was at. And at that level, people were asking me about my bloodline. So I got invited to the Illuminati parties and things. I've been to those things for real. I'm always very vague about it because I don't want to get killed. But yeah, I got a real education there. My school was started by LBJ, by the way, in 1970. So it was, the agenda really has been there for the last half century, but it's accelerated in the last 20 years.
Right. That's what it feels like.
I'm not sure
like.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, yeah, it does. That's what it feels like to me, but I wasn't sure where to sort of fit all that yeah. in. I mean, how far back do we go with the beginning? Go ahead.
Was 9/11 like the capstone on a power change then? Was that was that like a shock and awe sort of?
9/11 was a lot of things at once. It's often thought that the bigger the conspiracy, the more likely it'll leak. But actually, the bigger the conspiracy, say JFK, the more people are involved, they have to keep it quiet and they keep each other in check. They don't give up the game. In Hollywood, everyone has this sort of silent conceit of don't hurt the business. Everything is sacrificial to the business. And Hollywood's small time compared to these big time players on the military geopolitical scale. Hollywood's just their court jesters. 9/11 was, you can't ever talk about all of 9/11 at any one time, but it was, I like to reference Ghostbusters. Something terrible entered our world, and those buildings were obviously the door. There was a dimensional shift or something, whether that was brought on just by the sheer shock of the people and what we mentally manifest in its wake, or it was designed that way, and there were definitely ritual elements all over it.
Like a sacrifice?
The sacrifices definitely were part of it to draw upon that energy. But they draw upon other energies. You're aware of the storm that was off the coast and changed direction?
Yeah.
Using directed energy to harness, it was a bright, you see 9/11 video and it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. It was a bright, sunny morning in New York. But off the coast, there's this massive storm, but you can trace the energy ray from Long Island, the directed energy. They siphon that energy off. They're good at finding all sources of energy. When they go to war, they don't just go to war for oil. They go to war for lithium. They go to war for poppy seeds. They go to war for lots of things, digging up UFOs in the desert or something, whatever we're doing now. When they're after energy, they're after suffering and misery. They'll use that storm off of there. They'll use everyone's fear over there. They'll use everything they can get. So 9/11 is so complex, all the people keeping it quiet because they all have different agendas and it's all compartmentalized and they think they know what's going on, but they don't. Very few people knew everything. I'll tell you who knew the least about what was going on, and that was Bin Laden. Now, that was a New World Order operation all the way, and it was designed to change the psychological paradigm of the world.
Is that what we're doing again?
They know that we will naturally manifest things. It's sort of like playing billiards, I guess. They know which direction to knock us around.
So this is the problem with the movies and stuff, is that I feel like these other fucking people are fucking up my manifesting stuff sometimes.
Yes, they're using you against yourself.
Well, they're not using me against myself because I got my game in check. But this is the problem, is that like how do you fight back against? Is it that I've heard the term or the number 3% thrown around a little bit? Is there any, does that phase into your work at all, where if we can get 3% of people sort of on the right track?
Only in reference to the American War of Independence, the revolution, that very small percentage of people. I've heard 3%. I've heard as high as 15%. I've heard as low as 1%. As long as a small amount of people take action, that's all you generally need. That's all we've needed in history. We don't need everybody involved. it's the opposite. It's the balance in nature that it takes a very small amount of people to get crazy. So, you know, for things to get out of control, you don't need many people to start a riot downtown, for example. The whole city doesn't need to riot, only maybe a few dozen people. And then it goes out of control. I think the opposite is true on the positive side, that it takes a small amount of people getting together to make something happen. And then it multiplies out. Everything is a, there's a mathematical term that's slipping right now.
Exponentially.
Thank you. That's it.
Well, what?
So yeah, 3% sounds like a good number.
So what did you talk more about, Darren? I want Darren to talk more about that. Your question on the messing up your manifestation. Like, are you talking about Hollywood and the symbolism and the amount of crap that's out there?
This is why when I say you need to cancel your cable and you can't watch movies, that's not as selfless as it comes off, because the people that are watching TV and watching these movies that they're putting out these days are actively, in my opinion, changing the fucking route of reality. And that's the same why I'm anti-black pill to a certain extent, because I think this dystopian, if too many people are thinking dystopian or mandatory vaccinations or fill in the blank, then I think that that's how we are. We're each responsible for a sort of node in the co-creation of our reality. And I can kind of manifest a bunch of stuff on my own, and me and Graham can do some stuff together, but that's all moot if everyone else around us is fucking manifesting Total Recall.
But we are manifesting something else right now. You've attracted me. I'm, you know, our numbers are growing.
True.
And we don't need more than 3%.
But
everyone's afraid of a virus. It takes a small percentage to get into your body to affect you, right? For the record, I've not worn a mask and I never will.
But I think that's just, sorry to interrupt you, but I think that's the you're coming up with the critical question, Darren. Like, how do we not be blind to the black pilled stuff? Like, let's say what our government just put out in the alert that came onto my phone last night, saying go get the fucking jab. So how do we not buy into the black pilled part of that your government's telling you now to do something that we feel is unsafe? And how do you detach from that and talk about it in a positive way, or not let that ruin our manifestations? Because you don't want to ignore it.
I'm past
I don't
that.
Think you can ignore it.
I don't
it.
Let that ruin my manifestation. I'm more worried about me being 1 in 10 that don't think the world is ending. So can those other 9 fucking people end my world? Well, I'm just here trying to manifest up a good old time. You know, can the other 9 people that think it's all crumbling down make it all crumble down?
Unfortunately, yeah, they can. At one point, I'm not a religious person, but I'd love to see the movie made of Jesus where we include the scenes where he gets the whip and goes against the money changers, or he says, if you have not a sword, sell your cloak and get one. Even the Prince of Peace at some point says you have to defend yourself. So, I mean, at some point there's just the reality that people are going to roll over you. I'm sure the Germans wanted to mind their own business, so they didn't say anything when first they came for the Jews. And eventually they came for everybody. I think we're at that critical point where we're long past the point where people needed to get pissed off and take action. I spoke of the American War of Independence. I think everyone in the world's about to be feeling something similar. They're not. The whole Mark of the Beast thing, where you're going to need your vaccine to buy or sell, I mean, it's going to come to that if enough people give into the hysteria. Back to your question about Hollywood for a moment and killing your buzz. So many people speak of boycotts, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, but that's not nearly enough. That's like sanctions before a war. At some point, you're going to have to fight. I think people should boycott Hollywood, and especially Disney, entirely. And I've been doing that for many years. I don't have cable. I don't buy DVDs. I haven't been to a movie theater in 8 years. I've totally cut it off. And every time I say that to someone, I hope it, you know, rings true with them. And the more people cut it off, and that's a start, but we have to get not just defensive, but proactive. I think it's good to talk to your immediate friends and neighbors in a way that doesn't give them a trigger to come for you. If it comes to that, send them the Gestapo to your door, so to speak, because you don't have the jab.
That's exactly what Darren was talking about the other day.
Because they're going to do that. They're going to do. So you want to try and keep under the radar with your immediate vicinity, your neighborhood, your community, your building, whatever your living situation is, and find out where they are and talk to them one-on-one and get as many people to stand their ground as possible. We simply need resistance. We need, well, maybe outright rebellion at some point. In some point soon. I don't know how it is up there so much down here. I got to say, down here in the States, I am so disappointed that I don't even think we got 3%. I mean, I think they're ready, but they're what's everyone waiting for? I thought
they don't know what to do.
Shit was going to hit the fan months ago.
Yeah, they don't know what to do.
I really thought so.
We're lost.
When Capitol Hill stuff happened, for the first few seconds of the footage, I thought it was real because I thought, well, here we go. People are pissed off enough, but then that wasn't the case. And I'm like, is this America or what? You know, come all of you just to, as George Carlin said, silenced and bought off by gizmos and toys. Are we Rome? Maybe.
Yeah, well, up here we are. I mean, nobody knows what to do up here. A lot of the people don't agree with what's happening, but they don't know what to do.
That's my take, is it just seems to be the more I get out and the longer it goes on, where the just overwhelming majority have fucking had it. I mean, I heard Canadian Tire has just given up on mass at this point. They've given up because they were one of the more hardcore people on you know, they'd try and they'd spray you down at the door, but they've just kind of, their policy now is just fucking leave them alone. Enough's enough.
More people need to not just not give a shit. It's not like you have to be on a crusade, because that can be off-putting to people. But as long as you don't give a shit, I don't give a shit. Let's just, you know, not care. And more rely on, if people are going to be too lazy to fight a war, then rely on that laziness. People just don't want to have to care or hassle with it. You find as many people as you can to talk to. You go to local businesses that are that way. And you just encourage the culture of, I don't give a crap about this mask or this jab or anything. And the more people do that, eventually there's more people than they can corral and force to do what they want to do.
Next time someone asks you about the vaccine ground, just pretend you don't even know what COVID is. Just be like, what?
Yeah,
vaccine for
idea.
What?
That's a good idea.
And they're like, well, COVID. And you're like, what? What's COVID?
You ever see the movie Idiocracy?
Yeah, yes. A long time ago.
The documentary? Yeah.
Practically, it's a Mike Judge film from 2006 or seven. Guy goes into a government experiment and there's an accident. He's supposed to wake up in a year. He wakes up 500 years in the future and everyone is abysmally stupid. And he finally realizes that you just have to start talking stupid to him. And then they start working with him. It's meant to be a comedy, but it's frightening. Check it out sometime. You just have to start. He's in prison, for example. He's trying to say, I'm innocent. I don't belong here. And they're just like, get in line. So he says, but wait a second. I was sent to the prison by mistake. I'm supposed to be released. They said, well, then you're supposed to get in that line over there. Get out of here.
Yeah.
just start talking on people's stupid level. Yeah. Have you got the jab?
Oh, yeah. I got AstraZeneca last week.
What? I'd heard something about that.
What about just saying you got the pick one?
Well, I like that. But then again, if you
but say I mean, not with it. The see with mine was just like with my argument was just with my neighbor. My neighbor's like, oh, did you get your vaccine yet? And I was like, no. And she was like legit concerned for my safety.
I have a hard time.
That'll be the person that'll send the Gestapo to your door.
Yeah, that's where I'm just like, the next time she asks, I might just be like, oh, yeah, fuck, AstraZeneca one, it hurt.
I'm still feeling the effects. Must be working well. Must be doing its job.
I mean, or just give them gibberish. Just come back with, oh, yeah, the pizza was good. I think tomorrow I'm having ice cream. What? And then just see you later. Have a nice day. You know, just confuse them.
Yeah, that's right. King Kong would beat Godzilla in a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
My money's on the banana.
Yeah, exactly. And then you don't risk provoking them. It's sort of like the Men in Black neuralizing them. They don't know to come send the Gestapo to you later.
So I've been thinking what I need to do is put out, I've been really thinking about making, because I decided I'm going to be in the place I'm at for another almost 2 years. And I've been thinking this summer, this spring, I'd like to make a little, you know, you get the community library book thing people put out front, or you can just come and take a book and then you. So what would be your recommendation on some books you could put in there that'll like subtly start to wake up my neighborhood?
Oh, politically or more along your guys' line with personally, the books I always recommend are Graham Hancock's books. If you want to get some good books, but you mean politically?
I think right now that's sort of the thing you'd want to go on. I mean, the Graham Hancock books would have been great 2 years ago. Yeah. Would have been fantastic. But those, that'd be great because you'd want to have those Graham Hancock books in there.
I know. Jesse Ventura's books, they're not that dated and they lay the groundwork of the last century of corruption and conspiracy. He's got a whole bunch of books he wrote about 10 years ago. Ain't I Got Time to Bleed and Don't Start the Revolution Without Me.
The books that won't get me labeled as a domestic terrorist either.
Jesse is pretty much off their radar now. I don't think they bother censoring him much anymore.
What happened to him? Because you mentioned him to me before, I think, in reference to maybe running with Trump or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Ventura. Well, I'll have to spend a few minutes. Jesse deserves it here. I grew up like everyone else with Predator and The Running Man, you know, Jesse. And I got into pro wrestling in 1990. The first wrestling.
Watching or wrestling?
World Wrestling Federation.
No. Like, were you participating or watching?
No, just watching, just okay. As a fan. Marvel Comics was getting a bit too dark and ugly for me, like zombie Spider-Man stuff turned me off. I was into Marvel in the 80s. And so wrestling filled that void. It was a new cast of comic book type characters. And the first show I watched was WrestleMania 5, which was Trump Plaza with a young Donald Trump in the front row. And I'd never seen him before. And I thought, oh, so that's this Trump guy I hear about. I pictured him older, big and fat with a cigar or something. You know, he looks like a McDonald's man or something. And I didn't think anything of it. I'd never been into politics. But Jesse Ventura was the commentator the whole time. So I'm like, oh, my God, I get 4 hours of Predator Jesse. Excellent. And Jesse was always that guy that in Conan the Barbarian, when they say he's Conan, he will not cry. So I cry for him. I let Jesse get angry for me. Just when I was run out of Hollywood and came back in 2011, back home to the Pacific Northwest, I had a lot on my mind. I knew about Epstein and China and all this stuff going on back then. I lost my fiance. She worked at Disneyland. She worked for Epstein. I knew a lot back then, and my world was turned upside down. And it took a lot of inner strength not to go Frank Castle style on Hollywood while I was down there, if you get my drift. Yeah. I had an apartment full of swords. I mean, I had a fully decorated apartment with my pirate gear and my Renfair gear. I had enough live steel. The thought crossed my mind, believe me. But I figured when I came home, I'm just going to leave LA, go cool off, and I'll let someone else get angry for me. So I sought out Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show, and that's actually where I learned first about Alex Jones. And Jesse was talking about 9/11 was an inside job, and he's talking about HAARP up in Alaska and all these things that I had known about for a while, but I didn't have any details. I didn't know about alternative radio. The only alternative radio I ever knew about was Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM. You know, I didn't know about conspiracy news shows. I didn't know about InfoWars and things like that. So I was fascinated, and I really started to catch up with a lot of things. I never believed 9/11, but when I saw Jesse break it down, I'm like, ah, so my intuition was correct. We did do it to ourselves, huh? Yeah, never this Bin Laden dude. And that bridged me into other mediums. As far as Jesse, I think he was going to run for president in 2012, and they sabotaged him. The two incidents in particular come to mind, and he already had his lawsuit against the TSA ongoing about the Fourth Amendment, reasonable search and seizure. He was arguing that I'm a former governor, a former SEAL, a former mayor. Everyone knows who I am. I don't need to have my balls frisked at the airport. So he stopped flying. He was very public about never going to the airport again. So he would drive cross country or drive down to the Baja, Mexico, where he'd spend half the year. What they tried to do in 2012, because they were so afraid he was actually going to run for president, was they said that he was arrested for road rage on his way to LAX airport. It's like, I was up in Minnesota with a bunch of friends. They really smeared his name. And the other incident was,
I remember that happened. I
can't remember the other incident off the top of my head, but there was another one in particular, like a week later or a week before, where they were smearing him. And I think Jesse is enough of, he spends half the year in Mexico, so he's very much against the wall. Otherwise, I think he'd be a great president. I think that what happened, though, is he was hurt personally when Donald Trump did what I think he wanted to do, what Donald Trump did, shake up the whole system. And I really thought that I was telling people in 2013, 14, 15, everyone was saying, you know, Hillary's going to be the next president. And I said, I don't know. I think the people are ready and the leader will appear. Some champion's going to step up to shake things up. And it's either going to be Jesse Ventura, Vince McMahon, or maybe that Donald Trump guy. I did say that because those are the only people I could think of. Jesse and Donald Trump did tease running together at WrestleMania 20 in 2004. Donald Trump's been a part of 6 WrestleManias, sometimes participating, sometimes just in the crowd. Jesse Ventura was doing an interview. He was out in the ring doing his thing because it was WrestleMania 20, and he was the Hall of Fame star entry that year. So he goes out to ringside and gets the microphone up to Donald Trump and says, "What do you think? In 2008, do we need a wrestler in the White House?" And Donald Trump says, "You have my 100% support." And then they did a press thing in 1999 where they did talk about Jesse for president, Donald Trump for vice president. So I was like, you know, Jesse's going to show up or someone like him. And when Donald Trump showed up, I'm like, well, not too far off. Here we go. But I think what happened with Jesse was he expected Trump to name him as his VP. And when he didn't, Jesse was campaigning hard around 2012, saying, what we need is the first presidential candidate since George Washington to not belong to a political party, to be totally independent, which is basically what Trump was, because the Republicans hated him as much as the Democrats, because he shook up the whole corrupt system. So I think Jesse was in a way hurt. And his great job was done by someone else. There wasn't a lot he could do. So he just went down to the Baja to surf and smoke dope. And the way I look at Jesse is he served in the military. He served in public service. And he was awesome in the private sector. He's earned his retirement. We could use him, but he's earned his rest.
I mean, who knows? Maybe there was a deep regret that he went down that whole conspiracy road. I mean, because that could have ruined his chances. I mean, maybe if he would have kept that quiet for a couple more years.
Yeah. I think that's one reason Trump didn't name him, because it would have been too controversial. Yeah. He had to take Pence to tell all the traditional voters, okay, Trump's not as wild and crazy as you think. He needed that stability, and Jesse would have compromised that just being who he is. It would have been, for all the negative press we had on Trump, it would have been double that, because it would have gone after Jesse Ventura just as much. Although, of course, now they're going to promote Dwayne The Rock Johnson for 2024.
So do you think
Trump's goofy and Jesse was a wrestler? You know, that's how they'd say that. But they're going to promote the wrestler. They're going to give Rocky Johnson there the Ronald Reagan treatment. You know, and push him.
Oh yeah, he can talk as well. He'll be good.
So what
the actor is president, you know, for what being a wrestler was a bad thing. But, you know, when Jesse was running for governor or Trump was running, they kept making fun of the wrestling thing. But they'll promote it entirely when The Rock is up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's fully in on all their.
Oh, he endorsed Biden. Yeah. You don't get to be the top paid movie star in Hollywood without being compromised in some way.
Yeah.
He's dirty and so I'm sorry to say that because I used to love the guy.
Yeah, I know he's adorable in a lot of ways.
He's great in some of his movies.
Yeah. He's incredibly well spoken. He breaks all the racial barriers down. I've been a wrestling fan all my life. I've been to Rock at the house shows. You know, I've been able to boo and cheer him. I love the Rock, but when he endorsed Biden, I'm like, how can you turn your back on Biden fondling the little girl's hair and all the, you know, $1 billion to China? Well, son of a bitch, how can you overlook that, Rock? Yeah. You sold out. Yep. You turned heel on this, man. You sold out to the corporation.
Yeah. But it, I mean, and it seems like Trump did that with the vaccines too. So what do you think happened there? Do you think they got a hold of them, or do you think there was some threats along the line there? Because I was in the beginning, I mean, we told our listeners to vote for Trump, at least I did. And then, you know, now that's something that was a huge letdown, you know, by like year two, it was starting to be apparent. And by year three, it was just, you know, fucking.
Well, he had everyone working against him and stabbing him in the back. But
yeah, is that why it ended up worse in the end? Or it's just like, because honestly, it just, I don't know. Or is it just that we're at the beginning of things getting better? Because I still maintain that if things fucking go out of this corona the right way, we could still end up better off. Like, I think we could see a wave of politicians like we've never seen before. I mean, I don't know how that works in the U.S., but in Canada, it still seems to be like, you know, possible that you could run some people out of office. And in Canada, it's starting to be apparent that there's a bunch of politicians that won't be able to show their faces around town for a couple years, at least maybe longer. So there's the chance of that. Do you think, is that like the back end of that Trump wave?
Well, there's a couple questions there. I'll go back to the vaccine. Well, actually, let's talk about the big picture first. As soon as they realize that public sentiment is turned against them and everyone realizes the vaccine was a control mechanism and the cure is worse than the disease and all these people are really guilty and we need to hunt them down, there'll be a new, bigger, badder virus to totally distract everyone. And they'll let that one be more deadly to really scare people, and everyone will forget all about corona. It's like they rebranded Al-Qaeda, ISIS. What were they originally?
They're Al-Qaeda again now. 11
days. No, there's something before Al-Qaeda. Not the Mujahideen or something, but...
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
The Taliban. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. The Taliban. Yeah. Remember it was all the same people. They just kept changing the name. They'll release another virus and scare people. Now you got to be scared of this one. And all of you who didn't get the jab are responsible. It'll be like that. It's going to come down to the people rising up. And ironically, here in the States, I'll get to Trump and the vaccine in a moment. We have a new division beginning, not so much like the American Revolution, but more like the so-called Civil War, the War of Secession, where we've got all our southern states taking off their masks now. Florida,
Texas,
Mississippi, Georgia, they're all giving the middle finger to the New World Order.
Including
Canada,
like,
should invade again.
Executive orders against vaccine passports and stuff like that. That does seem to be all the southern states again.
In the Civil War, one of the things behind it that everyone focuses on slavery, and that was just one part of a larger situation. It was largely economic. We couldn't lose half our states because Canada was ready to invade us. Canada did take the White House once. Americans like to forget that. You guys should get ready to invade it. That's actually what they're doing. They want the North American Union.
And we've got a standing army of 42,000.
They want a highway from Canada to Mexico. This has been on the books for decades. And that's why all the trouble happens. That's why they've got they've destabilized the Great Lakes area. And they're trying to blame everyone. All the BLM stuff was positioned up and down the Mississippi. Trayvon Martin, 2014, all this emergency parallel military equipment. They want to cut the nation in half and have a North American Union. The virus fear is part of the way to get us there. To ultimately shred our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, like the First and Second Amendment, speech and guns, basically, because that's the last thing that stands in their way. They're using the fear to circumvent the law and take over and turn us into a North American Union like the Eurozone. So back to the vaccines and Trump. I think what happened there is, remember Bill Gates, old Bilderberg Gates up here in my neck of the woods, pushing, well, not too far from you guys either, pushing his jab on everyone as if he has a medical degree or anything. His family comes from Nazi money, total globalist scumbag. And he was going to have the vaccines. That was what they were pushing for. Hollywood, the media, the politicians, everyone was pushing for Bill Gates to save the world. Probably was going to run for president. Can you imagine Bill Gates running for president?
Nope.
That's a scary idea. I think they were considering it at some point, or to be in there like the VP or in the cabinet somewhere so you can have the influence. But Trump took that option away from him. So what Trump did by the warp speed, fast tracking the vaccine, it was the less of two evils in a way. By making it government, he made it a lot cheaper. He didn't let Bill Gates take everyone's money before killing him. And then he gave it, made it optional.
So they just took the government money, though?
But the government money with the Pfizer thing, and some people have died from the Pfizer vaccines. You know, all vaccines, God, don't keep those needles away from me. I haven't had a shot in 10 years, and you know what? I haven't been sick in 10 years. I get sunlight and exercise and eat good food. The what Trump did was took the option away from him. He gave the people a cheaper and optional option to Bill Gates. They basically thwarted Bill Gates's plan and bought us a couple years' time. Bill Gates can't come along and say, I've got the miracle vaccine, because we've already got one that Trump got out there first. And since the taxpayers paid for it, you can't come out with these grotesque medical big pharma costs. There was no solution. Trump did what he could. He took off the mask. He defied the mask, the world symbolically. He was, even when he got the virus, allegedly, I'm not sure if he did or if that was a work, like they say in wrestling, a bit of a show. He did that moment where he came back to the White House and stood on the balcony in front of the cameras and slowly peeled the mask off. That was telling the people, you know, defy this tyranny. Don't stand for it. That was being a good leader, I think. But he knew that we're fighting an uphill battle. They're going to keep brainwashing people with another vaccine or another virus and another virus. And it's not going to stop until they're stopped. And that's where the people fail, by sitting on their duff all the time.
So why is he still pushing it then? This is what frustrates me. Like, I was super annoyed about the warp speed, and that he had a chance to, it seemed like to me, he had a chance to push back against this whole COVID thing and fucking break it all open. And I know that would have been the most difficult thing, and maybe they would have just steamrolled over everybody that fell on that side. But I felt like he had an option to push back. And then, after warp speed, now he's out of office. His family and him are still fucking pushing the jab. I mean, is it still the best alternative compared to what would have come down the pipe?
I think it's a placation. It's saying, look, we're giving people the option to jab, but they're not. He was down in Florida where no one's going for it. So he's saying, like, well, you can do this. It's your option. But because if he says don't do it, then they'll come down on him harder, saying he's anti-vax.
Totally. Yeah, I get that. But here's the part that really annoys me, because it happens up here with our local politicians, is they're saying it's safe, and fucking Trump said it's safe. And that, to me, that's just a big fucking lie. Like, it is not whatever your little calculation is between the risk of this and the risk of that.
I'll even give them that. Maybe it's, let's just assume it's better than coronavirus.
Let's just assume for everybody,
okay. Just for the sake of the argument, it's better for everybody to get the vaccine than to get the coronavirus, even if you're 20.
Okay.
You still, it seems super fucked up that you don't even mention that there's a chance of this, there's a chance of that, there's a chance of that. That's why we indemnified them. But, you know, it's better than A, B, or C. You
can't even talk about it. Yeah, you're actually actively censored. Right, you're censored. You're fucking deleted.
That's all you need to know right there, that you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, but for me, that's all.
You know, it's bad news. Don't do it.
I know, but everybody else is just believing that they're saying it's safe. And it's just an outright lie.
Because they censor any word to the contrary. All people hear is that it's safe. And why does Trump say it, though? Well, this begs a larger question, and this gets us into the paranormal a bit more. There's a whole story of Trump that most people aren't aware of. Some people are. I don't know if you've heard of Uncle John Trump and the Tesla papers getting the mocked up. Trump did not just decide to announce he's running for president because he wanted to get his kicks. I don't think Trump even wanted to be president. I think he's part of a larger operation, a military operation, and he was told what to do by these people that are trying to take the country back and do what's right within the very corrupt system, and they have to be very delicate going through it like a minefield. I think that when it gets to all the human trafficking and the global picture, Trump was the face of a rebellion, and right now he's being told to, you know, kind of don't disturb things right now.
Don't get it, make it any worse than it is.
Don't make it worse right now.
Because we're doing things behind the
scenes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think right now the enemy, the New World Order, is in a bit of a false sense of security. I really don't think the American military just walked away and let Biden walk into the White House. If you look at the inauguration day, the military turned their backs to the motorcade. They didn't send Air Force One for him to pick him up, which was traditional.
So that's all true. So you think this is all real then? It's all true.
I think Biden's presidency is sort of like looking at a UFO. I'm not sure what it is, but I can tell you what it isn't. I don't see the FAA lights. You know, it's not behaving like a conventional aircraft. I don't hear rotors. It's not a helicopter. I can't say it's from Zeta Reticula or Mars, but I can tell you what it's not. When the military they refused Biden entry to the Pentagon last week. The military is not cooperating with Biden. They do not recognize him as their commander in chief. They know that election was stolen by an active enemy of the United States, communist China. I think the military is laying low, and I don't know what the hell they're waiting for.
Well, they're waiting. I mean, geez, they have to wait for this to calm down a bit. I mean, it's something.
You know. It's a game of chess right now, and they're playing the fear and the tensions of the people off against each other, and everyone's waiting for the right time to make their moves, I think. So I think Trump is being told what to say in a certain way, but I think General Flynn is more the president of the United States right now than anybody or someone like that. I really think Mar-a-Lago was equipped with all the facilities of the White House. You can run the American government from Mar-a-Lago. JFK started it. It's been beefed up by Trump, but it's had the facilities for the last half century. And they never revoked Trump's security clearance, saying you can't be at Mar-a-Lago because you don't have that security clearance anymore to have access to all those spying systems and, you know, Obama's big spying apparatus. He's got duplicates of that. He's got like G.I. Joe headquarters down there, and they're not forbidding him that. So who's really in charge? Biden said we're going to complete the wall. Does that sound like something they would do? Or does that sound like something Trump would do? I'm not sure what's going on, but as far as Trump, I don't think that... He's being allowed to go off the plan right now. And I don't mean the QAnon plan. I've actually never been to a Q post. I just think that there's no way Trump did this on his own, especially playing as well as he did for years. He knew too much. There were people that were, I think maybe years ago, some people went to Trump Tower and said, Mr. Trump, you know, we're going to have to take this country back at some point. We can do it the hard, easy way or the hard way. We can do it at the ballot box or the bullet box. Will you be our president? And Trump probably is like, well, they're going to come after my family forever. We'll protect you. And he's like, yeah, sure. And they probably finally talked him into it. And then he did it. And now they're going along with the plan, whatever that is. We have to hold our breath and see, I guess.
Do you think this ends in a bullets war with China?
I think bullets are anachronistic. We have everything from weather warfare to mental warfare, like Hollywood and such. I don't know. Maybe the will come into the streets. We've certainly got the peaceful protesters going on everywhere.
Yeah.
At what point do we just stop pussyfooting around and call it a war? I mean, is it going to take a moment like a shot heard around the world or in V for Vendetta when they take out the little girl and everyone just has had enough and start beating the crap out of the authority? What's going to happen? I don't know. Will there be some inciting incident? There could be, but that doesn't seem to be the game they're playing.
Because nobody believes those anymore. I mean, or maybe not nobody, but I mean, only the people that are fully in sort of believe those. I mean, a lot of other people are skeptical.
They can diminish real incidents and inflame bogus ones. You take like Kyle Rittenhouse, if you know that case.
Yep.
You know, they totally diminished and smeared that, whereas they get someone who's not a victim and play them up as one. So maybe the inciting incident wouldn't be the same. But China, I don't know if it's going to come to a bullets war, a naval battle first. Will we use, we have so much technology. I'm not sure if we could have a full-scale war between superpowers, first world nations.
That's what you start to wonder, what that fourth generation warfare would even look like. And if we're just like knee deep in it already, and when most, you know, if you can have World War III without fucking most of us even knowing for most of it.
I think warfare has changed. It's no longer bullets and boots on the ground. It's economics and mind control and weather and stuff. maybe what we need is a good old-fashioned field battle.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it does. So this is interesting because it does sound like a lot of the stuff you talked about is very Q-y, right? And you said you stayed away from the Q for the most part. But so is this, like, to me, what it is, it seems like what you're talking about is the when people say Q is still real or there's some Q, I feel like there's a part of it that's happening, like the stuff that you're talking about.
I'm 50-50 on Q.
And then there's a bunch of other shit, like the Kennedy coming back from the dead and all this other crap that just sort of, it's just people grasping onto all that, but it's obviously not true. It's not happening and everybody's sort of disillusioned now, but there does seem to be an aspect of it that's left there.
Well, Q, the reason I give credibility to Q without ever having gone to one of the chans is that I knew about Q in 2013. So I knew it was going to be something. I was watching Star Trek Next Generation, and Q, of course, bookends the series. And I was watching it, starting to realize all the hidden symbolism and such. And I'm like, what is this Q thing? And I, over the years, came to realize what it was, and that it was going to be the test. It was going to be the liaison between sort of like the deep throat or whatever. But like Q, they would mess with us. There would be games and falsehoods and even Deep Throat from X-Files. A lie, Mr. Mulder, is most convincingly hidden between two truths. So it's Q people took as a savior. Just tell us everything. Well, if Q told you everything, you'd be telling the bad guys. Q was playing games. The vote's still out on Q for me. Yeah, there's a lot of legitimacy there, but there was a lot of misleads as well. But was that to mislead us or them? We don't know.
Them sure capitalized on that. I mean, the whole fucking shenanigans at the
Capitol.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's just, they were going to do that anyway. Q just gave him an excuse.
Yeah.
Q seems, if all Q was to do is discredit things, it seems like a lot of trouble because they could have just done a false flag of any kind on January 6th. In fact, I saw that one coming. On my YouTube, I talk more than most people have time. Don't think you can catch up with all my stuff. But curious points, I like to have, every few days I do a wizard's log where I just talk about things in the world. And it's nice to have those timestamps. On the 5th of January, the night before the Capitol Hill so-called riots, I was talking. I said, I'll be surprised if they don't false flag something tomorrow to blame Trump supporters. And I started singing Weird Al's Weasel Stomping Day. And I said, put your Viking helmet on.
No
and,
way.
And we all know Viking Man in the Capitol. And I'm like, so I think it was inevitable. They were going to pull something, whether Q gave them a justification or not. I think Q was irrelevant in that case. They could have done anything with anyone and blamed it on Trump. They're very good at doing that. And the people are very gullible for swallowing it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So my buddy Dave Matheson would argue that his take on things, he agrees with most of everything you had said, but his take is that the military took over when they shot Kennedy, and the military has been running the place since.
Well, I'd say the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about's been running, and there's a power structure, a power struggle going on, I think. There's some military that's loyal to Biden in that whole sham administration. But I think majority of them are loyal to Trump. Trump was very wise during 4 years, giving the military all the accolades, all the budget. They loved him.
Space Force.
The military, personally, one by one, the rank and file servicemen and women do not like communist China. It comes down, I think there's a division, and it's a classic story. It's gone on for human history for thousands of years. The division in the government and who's on whose side. That includes members of the military in positions of control. They've been in charge probably longer than JFK. There was, I think it was Roosevelt warned us way back in the 30s. He said something like, there's a power behind the throne that even I dare not speak of. And you get into British Admiralty law and Federal Reserve and the world monetary system and all that. Trump and Kump trying to dismantle this is nothing. You can't just walk into the White House and say, I'm president and we're going to arrest everybody and then you're Hitler, or we're going to release all the UFOs because then you'll get magic bullets coming from every room of the White House at you. You have to be very delicate about undoing a century of corruption, at least. I mean, it goes back to the
act. Well, it seems to start with Teddy. Teddy, at least, right?
Oh, even before him, Woodrow Wilson signing in the Federal Reserve Act.
What year is that now?
1913.
Yeah, but Teddy's before him, isn't he? Isn't Teddy like...
Teddy Roosevelt, Rough Rider, Teddy Bear. Arguably, with his big industrial expansion.
Yeah, like that's who Dave McGowan used to put it on. It's like that's... But then you hear stories about the 1880 where it turned into a corporation. I don't know.
1871.
Yeah.
1871.
Can you expand on that?
On Roosevelt for a moment. Everyone's going to build big industry. And I mentioned the railroad barons. There's good and bad there. Are we happy to have our big industry? Yeah. Was it bad the way we went about it? Yeah. You know, but that was the sign of the times. Did Teddy Roosevelt set out to sabotage America? I don't think so. I think he was very much pro-America. But the Act of 1871, the corruption went back, you know, even before him. Ever since we fought the British, they've been trying to get control. They lost a lot of money with us. They want that power back, and they don't want a rival to themselves.
True enough. Where can our listeners track you down if they want some more Matt DeMille?
Well, yeah. We're at time already, aren't we?
Yeah, this has been, anything you want to say to close it off? This has been a fantastic chat. I mean, it's been really, really
much
great.
Much appreciated. I have a YouTube, which is just my name, Matt DeMille. It is 18 years old required because I definitely don't hold back what I say. And I don't really advertise it much. It's not a big following. I'm afraid if I get too many people, it'll get censored because I definitely say some things that probably aren't going to pass censorship. But I don't charge anything. There's no hidden fees, nothing. I just have to be protective. So if you're really curious, you want more, and I talk at length, very long-winded, just go to Matt DeMille YouTube. I used to have a Facebook, and there might still be some links for it, but that was hacked and stolen back on October 7th, so that's not me anymore. I have a Parler, if you're interested, Matt DeMille. On my YouTube, I have a lot of things. I recommend going to the playlists. I have a playlist for movie commentaries. I have a playlist for masonry. I have a playlist for all kinds of things. In every video, well, audio, podcast, I don't really use many visuals. I have all kinds of supplemental links in the description box, you know, further reading, so to speak. So always be sure to check out those. I'll be linking you guys, too. Every time Randall's on or you're talking about ancient stuff, if it fits a subject, Randall talks about something to do with the flood, I'll put it in the movie commentaries of everything to do with that part of the world. I just like to create an extensive, comprehensive library. For people to share this information.
That's great. So what do you also put your audio out in podcasts, like in the actual podcast feed as well?
I don't. Only YouTube. I have a BitChute in case YouTube ever smokes me and, you know, burns my books. I have a lifeboat in BitChute, but I don't post much there. I got started on YouTube, and I guess I'm just comfortable staying there.
Yeah, I'd be
open to a website or some sort if anyone could guide me in the right direction, but I'm pretty out of the loop on setting that stuff up these days.
Yeah. All right.
It's a little easier all the time.
Yeah.
A little easier every year. All right, Matt. Well, big thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
We should do it again.
Thanks for having me. Anytime you want, I'll be happy to ramble on some more.
Yeah, we should do it again. It's been fantastic.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
See you, buddy.
You guys too.
Okay. See ya.
Ciao.
Peace out.
And that was our chat with Matt DeMille. We hope you guys liked it. Big thanks to Matt for coming on the show. A fantastic, nice chat to these Hollywood guys from time to time, these ex-Hollywood guys, to kind of hear what was going on in there. In the second half of this one, we chat about the four controlling faction of Hollywood, which is more mystical than we think. We also get into Babylon working, negative entities, dark priesthoods, OTO, Devil's Gate, Laurel Canyon, touching on some of Dave McGowan's stuff, white gold, mana, global gangs, the Templars, organ harvesting, adrenochrome, royal
Kazarian Vampires and Quitting Freemasonry. Yeah, because it turns out that both of us had left Freemasonry around the same time. Anyway, this is again the outro for the free show. So we mentioned here again that Graham is, you know, going full time, taking a giant leap of faith, jumping off into that abyss, and we hope that you guys will see that. Maybe sign up for Plus. Tell your friends if you're already signed up for Plus that they should sign up for Plus. Head over to grahamerica.ca/support or grahamerica.ca/swag to pick up some gear, that sort of stuff. Contact at the cabin for the events. And Graham America Show is the other podcast. Head over to Rockfin for our video stuff. There's also the chats. Head over to grahamerica.ca/chats. Get into the chats today. It's a great place. There's a bunch of different chat rooms in there where you can kind of go in and chat with like-minded people about all sorts of different stuff and some not like-minded people too. But there's very little name-calling or drama in there. It's a very high-level discussion forum. There's also the socials. If the chats move a little fast for you, you need something a little more slow-moving like the social networks where you can check out profiles, stuff like that. We have grahamerica.ca/social. Again, that's all self-hosted. We self-host everything around here. So yeah, enjoy. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Check out that Plus extension over at grahamericaoutlaw.ca if you want to get the extra half of this chat, all the other chats, full access to the back catalog, as I think this thing's probably starting to cut off. I think we kept 25 episodes live at any time, or might be 50. We'll see. But anyway, eventually that back catalog will start to disappear. Sign up for Plus today. America.outlaw.ca. And thanks for listening. We love you, and we will see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political, anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become, your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true? I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill
cow.